Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministering the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's amazing. He's awesome. He alone is worthy of all the glory and all the praise. Just think how good the Lord has been to us. Through all of these different seasons, all of these different years, think about His graciousness, His mercies, His loving kindness, how compassionate He's been. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And even as we have just gotten through that season of celebrating the Lord's death, His burial and His resurrection, the ultimate price and the ultimate sacrifice that He made for you and for me to have redemption. What a glory. What a glory. I mean, the graces are still flowing. The anointing, the presence of God, just the power of His resurrection. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I trust God that you and your loved ones are doing well. I trust God that you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord, that you are blessed in all that you are doing. This is another opportunity that our Father has given to all of us to be able to come together around His Word. And I am ever so excited to be able to come together with you, with the saints, and to study the Word of God. What have we been studying the last 2 months, 8 weeks? Renovate your mind, elevate your life. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. I trust you have been blessed. I am being so mightily blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are on such an amazing journey with our God. The Word of God is coming alive every day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No wonder the Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Glory to God. That's what we have been experiencing. We've been experiencing the sharpness of the sword, the double-edged sword of the Word of God, as it's been doing a work from our spirit, our conscience, to our souls, our minds, our emotions. And truly, as we carry on this journey and as we continue on to do the things that the Lord has called us to do, our lives will never be the same again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because when our minds become renovated, when we are renewed in the spirit of our minds, when change happens, when there's radical change from the depth and from the root of who we are, my friends, our lives can never be the same. There's an elevation that happens. There's an elevation that happens. And in destiny, we become elevated. Everything around our lives become elevated. Hallelujah. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. We're going to dive right into it. Again, I want to thank you tonight for being a part of this Bible study. Thank you for joining us. Whatever platform you are joining us through, it's such a blessing. I trust God that you are able to hear us clearly. You can, those of you who have video, whatever channels or platforms you're using, I trust that's clear. Glory to God. Let's have a word of prayer, share a word of prayer together, and let's dive right into the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again so much tonight for this opportunity that you have given to all of us, my brothers and sisters, all of us together. There is no distance in the Spirit. You are right here with us. The Holy Spirit is present with us. We sense Him. We sense His presence. We're excited about the illumination that we will receive from the Word of God, the understanding. Thank you, God, because the light of God will come through the Word. Understanding will come. Enlightenment will come. Something good will happen in all of our lives tonight. We give you the glory and we give you the praise for that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go right into the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 55. That's where we start from, or just in about, just about in every service. If you are just joining us, this is your first time, or maybe the first few times that you've joined us, I encourage you. All of these messages, these teaching messages, are in our podcasts. It will do you a lot of good to get some foundation so that you have something to build upon. It's always essential to have a foundation to build upon. We've done 7 weeks of this already, and there's a lot of truth, a lot of light that we have received already. I don't want you to be cut short or to be cut off from all of the blessings that we have already received in this series of teachings. What we do going forward will be more significant in our lives if we have the foundation that has already been laid. Amen. Let's start right there in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. Glory to God. The Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." When our thoughts become God's thoughts, when our ways become aligned with God's ways, then we get in position to enjoy God's best. When God sends forth His word never returns to Him void, but His word always accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent. When our minds become renovated by the word of God, then we get in position to be able to enjoy the full benefits of every word that God sends into our lives. The Bible tells us in one of the scriptures that we have already studied that a naturally minded person, a carnally minded person, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They can't discern them. They can't lay hold, they can't take hold of them. But a spiritually minded person can receive the light of God, can walk in the steps of God, can maximize the word, the promises that the Lord has made to us. Oh, my friends, it is so essential. We cannot get God's best in our lives without renovating our mind. The Bible says it's time to renovate our minds. It's time. I love the Passion Translation of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. He said it's time to renew our minds, transform our minds, or to be transformed by every revelation that we receive. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. In the Passion Translation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to find it in my notes without having to There it is, without having to dig right through all the scriptures that I'm going to go through tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 in the Passion Translation. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with Him. For God has created you all over again in His perfect righteousness, and you now belong to Him in the realm of true holiness. Look at that word, mark that word, and keep that word in mind. To be transformed. To be transformed. That word, before we close out tonight, I'm going to say one or two things about it. Hallelujah. When our minds are renewed, when they are renovated, like the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, that's another scripture that we have read in just about every service from the last few weeks. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, especially, we have studied this a lot from the Amplify the King James and the Amplify. The King James says, "For God has not given unto us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The Amplified version says, that is why, well, he says, "I'll remind you to stir up the gift of God." But in verse 7, he says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, but He has given to us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a calm and well-balanced mind, and a spirit of discipline and self-control." That's how he describes a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind that is well-balanced, that has self-control, that is disciplined. We have studied a lot of this. When you have the spirit of a sound mind, you don't have fear, worry, anxiety, insecurities, cowardice, unbelief, distrust. You are not care-burdened. You are not double-minded. You don't doubt. You are not discouraged. You are not full of despair, despondency, hopelessness, depression, stubbornness, selfishness, lust, greed, strife, jealousy, envy, self-centeredness, and self-preservation, and all of that. And last week, glory to God, we're going to pick it up from where we stopped last week. We said that one of the most important evidences of a renovated mind or a sound mind is a mind that has the spirit of humility. We read that in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 last week, where Apostle Paul said, writing to the Philippian church, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he did not think it robbery to be equal with God. Notice, Jesus' thought had a lot to do with his mind, the condition of his mind. He thought it, the Bible says, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One of the most important, one of the most significant, we're going to read that in the Amplified Version. One of the most significant evidences of a renovated mind is a renovated mind takes on the spirit of humility. A renovated mind is a mind that has been committed to be humble. This is a decision you are going to have to make. This is a decision that I have made, but I cannot make that decision for you. This is one of the most prominent things that featured in our study from last week. We kept saying it over and over and over again. It seemed like the Lord just wanted us to emphasize that over and over and over again. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ." So when it says let, that means you and I have something to do with this. I can preach and teach these messages, but I can't make you obey them. It's not my job to make you respond to the teaching of the Word of God. If you want to continue on the way you have always been, if you are happy with your life, if you are happy with everything in your spiritual life, in your emotional life, in your physical life, in your health, in your body, in your finances, in your relationships, in your family, in your marriage, in your career, in your destiny, in your ministry, in your business, if you are totally satisfied, and you believe that you already have God's best, well, God bless you. Congratulations. You don't have to do anything further. You don't have to do anything further. But for many of us who still have long ways to go, who still look ahead of us and see the great glorious future, the great glorious destiny that God has prepared for us, and we look at where we are and we are thankful, but we're not satisfied, then we must make a commitment of quality to renovate our mind, number one, by being humble. Hallelujah. Notice, the Bible says Jesus was in the form of God, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't consider equality with God something to hold on to. So he made a decision. Even though I am God, there's still more for me to do. I'm going to take on humility. Let's read that scripture right there, Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 all the way down. Let's read it from the Amplified. You and I are going to have to make a quality decision. If we want the best of what God has for us, if we want to think like God, if we want to act like God, if we want to speak like God, not just one day, not just in one season, but if every day of our lives we are passionate about being like our Father, if we are passionate about having a life that reflects the glory of our Father, then you and I are going to have to make a quality decision. Somebody said, "Pastor, but what if I don't?" Well, think about some of the scriptures we mentioned last week. If we don't, even though we are children of God, the children of the Most High, and in Psalms, the 82nd Psalm, Psalms 82, God said we are children of the Most High, we are God's. And yet he said, because the understanding of those people were darkened, because their minds were blinded, and their understanding was darkened, even though they were gods, he said they'll die like mere men. even though they were gods, made in the image of God, who have received the blessing and the gift of redemption, who are supposed to manifest the glory of God in every area of their lives, at every level of their lives, he said even then that they are not going to have that. They're going to die like men. Man, we read this scripture in the 82nd Psalm last week. Let's read it one more time. Hallelujah. Let's follow the Holy Spirit here. Let's follow the Holy Spirit. Psalms 82 from verse 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. That's you and I. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Why? Because they walk on in darkness. Everything in their lives out of course. Mentally, emotionally, they are out of course. There's no soundness in the mind. Spiritually, their growths are stunted. Psychologically, they are not healthy. Physically, in the body, they are struggling and have struggled for years to lay hold on the promise that God has given to them, to believe in that promise, to lay hold in the promise of divine health. Financially, their lives are all over the place. Look at it. Look at what it says. Because they walk on in darkness, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Verse 6, I have said you are gods and all of you are children of the Most High, but you will die like mere men and fall like one of the princes. Why? Because the minds, the understanding is darkened. When we reject the knowledge, remember it says in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. I said you were going to be a priest to me, but you will not be a priest because you have rejected knowledge. Hosea and chapter 4 verse 6, you have rejected my knowledge. Look at it. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest unto me. Seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. We are called to be kings and priests. We are God. We are in the God class. We are children of the Most High God. We carry his DNA. That's part of the price that Jesus paid for our redemption. He came to call us to glory, to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. He said, I and the children that God has given unto me, we are for signs and wonders on the earth. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18. You and I are for signs and wonders on the earth. However, all of that is riding on the qualification that our minds have received the light of God. We are walking in understanding. We are walking in knowledge. Remember that one of the chief prayers that Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, the entire New Testament, by the way, is that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. I know in some of our previous teaching series, message series, we have studied a lot of this. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15. Where therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in all my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that then you may know the hope of his calling. The eyes of your understanding. being enlightened, so that then you can lay hold on the best that God has prepared for you. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you can be who God created you to be. You can operate in the God class. You can walk and accomplish destiny. Hallelujah. However, humility is required. Humility is required for the eyes of our understanding to become enlightened. Humility is required for our minds to become renovated. The Bible says, let this mind be in you. We must take the mind of Christ and we must superimpose it on our own natural minds. How do we do that? We must take on the spirit of humility to say, I don't, in this area of my life, I don't usually think like God thinks. I haven't committed to always thinking like God thinks in this area of my life. I'm tired of making those excuses. I'm tired of allowing the world around me to become the main influence, the predominant influence around my life. I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to take on the mind of Christ. If the Lord says this is how he wants me to think in this area, that's exactly how I'm going to think. If the Lord says, even though I've thought like this since my childhood, maybe my parents believe this, maybe my teachers in school believe this, maybe my siblings, the people I grew around, maybe my best friends, BFFs, believe this, but the Lord says this is not his thought. This is not his way. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to be teachable. I'm going to be leadable. I'm going to submit myself to the word of God. I'm going to abandon my old way of thinking and I'm going to take on the mind of Christ in every area of my life. Humility is required. Without humility, we can never enter into the process that begins the renovation of our minds. We're going to see that further as we go tonight. Humility is required. A spirit of meekness. A spirit of submission. How does this play out? Sometimes the Holy Spirit brings things to our attention. Sometimes we yield to him. Yes, Lord, I take that. I take that correction. I take that correction. But sometimes he uses humans. Some of the humans he uses might be above us. Some of the humans he uses might be under us. And when they bring the word of God and they say, well, that is not scriptural. We're saying something or we're acting some way. And they say to us, that is not scriptural. And we know that is not scriptural. What do? We yield. I submit myself. I humble myself. And I abandon my old way of thinking. No matter how long I've done that, I'm going to commit to start thinking in the way of the Lord. Humility is required. Without humility, we can't be led. Without humility, we cannot be directed. Without humility, we cannot be instructed. Without humility, we can't follow. Sometimes God uses people to direct us. That's right through scriptures. And I know sometimes in the course of our studies, I know we're going to come to some of those. The renewal of our mind, the renovation of our mind requires humility. Just about in every place where Paul in the New Testament talks about the believers renovating their minds or renewing their minds or telling us how to live, giving us clear instructions about how God expects us to live. Notice a lot of times he's giving those instructions and he's expecting that we would accept those instructions with a spirit of humility. Sometimes when we fail to humble ourselves, then the word of God does not produce fruits in our lives. Then we need a specialist of something to help us. But the Word of God has all the answers. We need a psychologist. Thank God for psychologists. Praise God. People need them at different levels of their lives. Glory to God. If you need a psychologist, please, by all means, get their help. But every answer you need for everything going on in your life, my friends, is in the Word of God. Every answer is in the Word of God. But if we reject the knowledge of the Word, then we are rejected. We can't operate. We can't live in the God class if we reject the knowledge of the Word of God. If our understanding remains darkened, humility is required. Can you say those words with me again tonight? Humility is required. Say one more time, humility is required. Let's personalize it. Say, humility is required of me to renovate my mind so that God can elevate me. Hallelujah. Let's go back. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 in the Amplified. I want to read this in the Amplified. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Let Jesus 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 be your example in humility. Hallelujah. He says, let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, he did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. But he stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him, and he has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, must bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It began with his humility. Jesus receiving all these benefits of the resurrection and being able to deliver that benefit to us through redemption, all of that began by him taking on the garment, the spirit of humility. Humility is the open door to elevation in life. Humility is what causes grace to be poured out on us. As we take steps to continue on and renovate our minds as we are studying and learning and growing, this cannot be done by our human abilities. If we try to do this in our human abilities, we will fail. If every time, you know, I find myself thinking something that's wrong, I want to use my own human ability to change it, to correct it, I'm going to get tired. Grace, it is grace that enables us to be able to lay hold on things that God has prepared for us and to have ease with it. It takes grace to renovate our mind and to be able to do it with ease. The ease of the Holy Spirit. Joyce Meyer calls it holy ease. It takes grace. To try to renovate our minds without grace will be a struggle. is a struggle, and is a struggle that will produce no fruit. But when we have grace, we'll find ourselves going from one level of glory to another level of glory to another level of glory. We find ourselves rising up, elevating, and operating in the God class. Hallelujah. Remember in Hebrews 4:10, we read that last week as well. Let's read Hebrews 4:10 and then go and read from James chapter 4 verse 10. Let's read James chapter 4 verse 10 and then let's back up and let's read a couple of important scriptures from James chapter 1. But in James chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says here in the King James, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. The Amplified says, humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you and he will lift you up and make your lives significant. When we humble ourselves, God gives us grace and elevates us. Earlier on in this same fourth chapter of James, if you look there in verse 6, it says, but God gives more grace. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. God gives grace unto the humble, the grace to be elevated, the grace to move forward in life, the grace to achieve the destiny that God has prepared for us is given to us when we take on humility, when we have the spirit of humility, when we submit ourselves, when we yield, when we follow, when we step down, like Jesus did. Hallelujah. God resists the proud. God resists the proud. Well, who's the proud? The proud is someone who feels, I've got it. I mean, I can't be corrected. Why should I be corrected? I mean, I have it all together. And who is that person and who are those people to talk to me that way? That's pride. Who is that person to correct me and tell me to do it a different way? No, I'm satisfied. I'm happy with my way. I'm happy with the way I've always done it. This is good for me. This is how I want to do it. Leave me alone. No, that's pride. That's pride. Because the Lord said in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways. And he's telling us that because he wants us to change our ways. He wants us to change our thoughts. So then if we insist on our own thoughts, and if we insist on our own ways, what's that? Pride. That's pride. Pride can be corrected. Or if it's corrected, you won't take it with the right attitude. You have to apologize for correcting when someone has pride. You are going to have to try to explain yourself if you want to direct somebody who has the spirit of pride. They don't willingly follow. Their minds are their gods. They may be saved. They may be born again, like we saw in Psalm 82, right? You are gods and you are children of the Most High God. You are children of the Most High. But he says your understanding is darkened. Therefore, you will die like mere men. That's not for us. But this is what happens when people's minds become their gods. When they are stubborn. When they must, it has to be their way. See that their way or the highway. when it's like, no, this is how I think I'm going to do it, and this I've done it forever, and I don't want you to tell me how to do it, and just leave me alone. Then we won't receive grace. We will lack the oil of grace. Our minds will not be renovated. We won't rise in destiny. We will never be significant. This is not God's will for us. This is not God's best. Look at it. Glory to God. I want us to back up. Let's back up to James chapter 1. Let's read from verse 19. James chapter 1. And let's read from verse 19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Look at that. Receive with meekness. The word meekness there is the original word that means humility. It means gentle. It means submissive. It means yielded. Look at what it says. We should put aside all filthiness, all superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Therefore, humility is required for the renovation of the mind. If we do not put on humility, we will never receive the engrafted word. If we don't receive the engrafted word, our minds will never be renovated. If our minds are never renovated, we will never be elevated in destiny. Notice here, he says, receive the engrafted word with meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The word save there is the word sozo. It's the same original root word where the Greek word, where our common word salvation, to be saved, that's sozo, salvation. When we talk about being born again and we talk about being saved. Now, well, look at this. You and I are born again. We have accepted Christ into our lives as our Lord and our Savior. We are saved in our spirit, but our minds and our souls are not saved. The day we gave our lives to Christ, we've talked about this over and over again in previous some of our foundational services or teachings. But the day we gave our lives to Christ, nothing happened to our minds. That's why the soul or the mind needs saving. It means to change that soul, to deliver it, to preserve it, to rescue it. I like the other word that is used in a couple of other scriptures in the New Testament, to transform it. To transform it. This one says to save the soul. Why? Why does the soul need to be saved? Because the soul is bound from the past. The soul is limited from our journey. The soul is unsaved. Our minds naturally want to do their own thing. Our minds want to go their own way. Our minds want to determine their own destiny. The soul is not saved. And depending on the kind of influences that you have around you, the kind of influences that you grew up with, sometimes that even hurts the soul more. The ungodly influences, the things that our minds have been exposed to, the things that we've grown up learning, hearing, seeing, that are not in line with the word of God, that are not in line with the covenant, they distress our soul further. You know, like what the Bible says about Lot Remember what the Bible says about Lot. I think it's in 2 Peter somewhere, 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me show you that. We're going to come right back to James. Try to close out in 2 Corinthians. But let's look at this real quick. I want to show you this. In 2 Peter, the Bible says he was a righteous man, but his soul was vexed continually by the things that he was exposed to. Look at that in 2 Peter chapter 2. And let's read this. Let's read this from verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, God condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. Verse 7. And he delivered Lot, who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I'm going to read that from the Amplified Version of the Bible. But I want you to see how even though Lot was a righteous man, but he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the predominant influences around his life overwhelmed him. And they overwhelmed his soul. Because he was seeing those things every day. He saw their silliness. He saw their stupidity. He saw their foolishness. He heard the things they said. And at a point, he got overwhelmed. Even though he was a righteous man, he got overwhelmed. You know, his family was a totally different story. His wife wasn't just overwhelmed. His wife was totally lost. Because when God came to rescue them and God gave them instructions, I want you to leave. And the angel said, don't look back. You know what Lot's wife did? Why did she decide to look back when God said, don't look back? Her mind, her soul was destitute. Her soul was damaged. Her soul was almost as good as ungodly. Though she was supposed to be a godly woman, she couldn't make a decision to yield to God's instruction because of the condition of her soul. Lot struggled too. He made it. He made it by the skin of his teeth. But this is what happens when the soul is damaged, when the mind is not renovated. See, Lot's wife could not obey, could not yield. Why couldn't she yield? It was a very simple instruction. She saw all the ungodliness around them. She saw how her daughters, her family, her children, she saw how the evil that they were all exposed to every day. She saw how it was negatively impacting their lives. And when God came to save them, and God came to rescue them and to take them out before that city was destroyed, he gave them a simple instruction. But guess what? There was no humility. Because when there is humility, obedience is easy. Why did Lot's wife refuse to obey the instruction? Why? God said, don't look back. But she said, no, you know, it wasn't that she just made a mistake. It was her thought. Her thoughts were overwhelming. She couldn't yield to the instruction that God gave. She couldn't stoop low to submit to the direction that God gave. Her thoughts that were a result of the predominant influences around her, her thoughts had damaged her soul to the point that she could not submit herself and obey the word of God. My brothers and sisters, my prayer is that would not be you and that would not be me. Look at what the Bible says about Lot. I see my time is up. I'm going to have to stop right here. Look at what the Bible says about Lot. It says God condemned, this is in the Amplified, he condemned to ruin and extinction the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, reducing them to ashes, and thus set them forth as an example to those who will be ungodly. Verse 7, and he rescued righteous Lot, who was greatly worn out and distressed by the wanton ways of the ungodly and the lawless. My friends, that was his environment. He was worn out. In his mind, in his soul, he was distressed. He was damaged. Verse 8, for that just man, living there among them, he tortured his righteous soul every day with what he saw and what he heard of their unlawful and wicked deeds. He tortured his soul. His mind was broken. His mind became destitute. So then it needed to be renovated. It needed to be renewed. It needed to come back to life. His wife was a lost cause, but his own mind needed to be renovated after he came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why, let's go right back there and close out there in James chapter 2. I can't get into my transformed word tonight. But that's why in James chapter 1, where we were reading, that we need meekness to receive the engrafted word so that it can save our souls, sozo, our souls. James 1, 21, therefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, and be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. Because when you're just hearing the word, but you are not renovating your mind, you think that word is going to produce in your life, but it's not going to produce. You are simply deceiving your own selves, your own self. Let's read this in the Amplified and close out right here. Look at verse 21. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which, implanted and rooted in your heart, contains the power to save your souls. And be you doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Humility is required for the renovation of our minds. Father, we thank you so much tonight. We give you the glory and the praise. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for your word. We receive it tonight with the spirit of humility. We take on meekness. We receive the engrafted word, which is able to save, to sozo, our souls. Oh, Father, we commit, we yield to you. We will not be like Lot's wife. We will not let our mind rule us. Our mind will not be our own God. No, we'll yield to you. We'll submit to you. To every instruction that you give us. To every direction that you give us. We won't argue with it. We'll yield and submit to your word. So that our minds can be renovated and our lives can be elevated. We give you the glory and the praise, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Our time is up, saints. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Hallelujah. What a glorious service. That time ran so fast. Glory to God. I'm looking forward to next service, our next teaching. It's going to be awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much again. I pray God's blessings upon you. Look forward to seeing you next week, same time. God bless you. Good night.